Speaking of the Michigan Supreme Court, Justice Marilyn Kelly retired last week, but not by choice. The 74-year-old Kelly could not run again because the state constitution bars judicial candidates from seeking office if they're 70 years of age or older. Kelly was Chief Justice for 2 years, but the Democrat spent most of her 16 years in the minority on the Supreme Court, as conservative Republicans controlled the court 4-3. Former Justice Marilyn Kelly joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, let's be crystal clear. You would have kept serving if Michigan's Constitution allowed, correct?
I certainly would have run again and would have hoped the people would have again elected me.
You were elected in 1996 to the state Supreme Court, so you've had many, many years, even serving as Chief Justice, as we mentioned, for 2 years. So looking back, tell us what has been, what are you most proud of? What's been the best part of your job for you?
Well, I've been, frankly, delighted to have the opportunity to help shape the law in the state. Within the court, we've instituted a recusal rule, which even the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't have, which gives the opportunity to litigants to ask a justice to step down from a case if that litigant feels the justice is prejudiced or biased. In the past, if the justice refused to step down, there was no recourse. Now, with this new recusal rule, there is a recourse. I think the court's made some good decisions over the years. I certainly haven't approved of many, but it has made good decisions, such as the decision to continue to allow people to walk along the water's edge of our Great Lakes, to have standing to bring an action to save the environment, to be able to prevent the government from taking their land for non-public use. Those are just some of the opinions I've been on that I've been proud of.
You've been very clear in your opposition to some of these key decisions, particularly ones that have tightened access to the trial courts, especially in injury cases. Talk to us about some of your frustrations.
It's frustrating to me to realize that some on the court believe that the legislature really does intend to make it harder for people to use the courts when they're injured in an automobile accident, a slip and fall injury on the premises of a business, or, for example, when they're the victim of malpractice, either legal or medical.
Why do you think that is? I'm sure there have been many discussions.
There certainly have.
So the view for restricting is what? What do you hear? Certainly you don't support it.
The view for restricting is that there's a limit to what the courts can do to protect people's rights. The people really don't want this kind of recourse to be available to people, that the legislators don't intend it when they write certain laws. But frequently it is a question of just how the court interprets the language that's used.
By the legislature. So you're
right.
Now, I would suspect some of this stems from those so-called nuisance suits, which everyone knows it happens. So what is your view as to why the access should be broadened?
You know, there have been nuisance suits, certainly, over the years, and courts are generally not sympathetic to them. I think the general public is given to believe that people tend to recover large amounts of money in these nuisance suits, and although I think normally it just simply doesn't happen, and so people are unnecessarily concerned about that.
Are you saying it pretty well gets squashed in the lower courts before it would ever make it to the state Supreme Court?
That's right.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside, and I'm Cynthia Canty. We're talking now with the newly retired state Supreme Court Justice Marilyn Kelly, who, because of age limitations spelled out in Michigan's Constitution, going back to 1906, she was not allowed to run for re-election. Now, Marilyn, you've been very critical, and it seems so have the other justices, about the way Michigan's Supreme Court justices are elected. Spell out your concerns for us.
Yes, my concern is that our system of choosing state Supreme Court justices has become too politicized, and it started to involve much more money than we're accustomed to, and that the source of that money and the amount is not easily identified and at times can't be identified at all. So over the years that I've been in public office, we've seen the amount spent on these races jumping from maybe $500,000 to $15 million. Clearly something's going on and changes in the law are needed in order to control this this potential for abuse.
And what changes would you make in the way candidates run for seats?
I think that the legislature should enact changes to the campaign finance laws. This would be easy to do. It would simply require that money going into these Supreme Court races be identified so the public can find out the source of the funds, and that that identification involve disclosure before an election so that people can find out who's paying for the ads that they see on television.
That sounds like something that is going to be a cause near and dear to your heart going forward.
It is. And a task force that Judge Ryan and I set up last year has recommended these changes. We've taken the question to the governor and to the key legislators, and we're hoping that in 2013 they'll see their way clear to enact these changes. We know that the general public wants them.
I think we got a sense of that with this last campaign and the flood of advertisements. And it seems as we were profiling and spoke with all the candidates, and no one of the candidates or the sitting justices seemed happy with the system as it exists that you have to work under at this point.
That's right. It's an embarrassment. It's a national embarrassment that candidates for the Supreme Court are nominated by a political party. This is the only state in the union that does that. It would be easy for the legislature to change the laws and provide for open, nonpartisan primaries for the Supreme Court.
Well, in your early discussions, have you and Justice Ryan received any kind of sense from the governor or from lawmakers that they're open to reform?
Well, the door's not closed.
Okay.
But beyond that, I can't assure you that that the changes that are needed are going to happen, although I'm convinced that if our legislators heard from us enough, they would get the message and make the changes.
So in essence, it sounds like you're challenging people listening to you right today, the voters of Michigan, to speak out.
That's right. It's surprising what influence you can have by writing your legislator or telephoning and simply indicating that you want to see something done.
What is it like? And we've had a chance now to talk to some folks. We talked to David Curson, who had his 7 weeks in Congress, and can give a perspective that the rest of us can only wonder about. And the same for you. When issues and cases are presented to the Supreme Court in Michigan, what's it like and what's the dialogue and the conversation like as you're coming down with your rulings?
Oh, it's an amazing process. There are seven of us. And we read briefs, and then we hear oral argument, and then we sit and discuss the merits of the case and vote and decide who's going to write an opinion. And ultimately, when that opinion is written and circulated, if someone disagrees, dissents are written and circulated. And in the course of all of that, there's a great deal of thought given to the results that we are coming up with. Because we all know on the court that our decisions not only resolve the case before us, but that case stands as precedent for future cases that are like it.
So, Marilyn Kelly, looking back now with your 16 years of experience on the high court and now your concerns looking ahead, what challenges do you think Michigan's Supreme Court faces going forward?
The high court, and in fact all courts, are facing, I think, the paramount problem is the high cost of for people to be involved in court cases. It's become a game that's available to the wealthy. Even middle-income people find it overwhelming to go through litigation in our courts. We have to find ways to cut down the costs. For example, we find that up to 40% of people in some courtrooms are unrepresented by a lawyer because they simply can't afford one.
Hmm.
I set up a task force that has established a website and a self-help center, which is called Michigan Legal Help, and that endeavors to help people learn at least what's expected of them and what forms to use when they get in a courtroom, and helps them find a lawyer if and when they realize that they absolutely must use one. We need to improve our funding for indigent criminal defense in the system. It's one of the very worst in the whole country. It's a scandal.
Hmm.
We need to find ways to, and the state Supreme Court needs to adopt guidelines for judges to use in selecting interpreters for those who are in the courts and don't understand English. We have a great many of those people. The Department of Justice is concerned that Michigan's not has not yet established guidelines. That question is before the court right now.
It certainly seems there's a common theme in your concerns over some of the decisions you have not agreed with, and you're looking ahead as far as the challenges. It really comes down to access and letting people get full access to the legal system.
You're absolutely right, Cindy. It's very perceptive. That's my biggest concern.
Former Michigan Supreme Court Justice Marilyn Kelly, thanks for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you so much.